Small Data, the Tiny Clues That Uncover Huge Trends, by Martin Lindstorm. Introduction. Is any of us aware of the small data we leave behind every day, the rituals, habits, gestures, and preferences that we expose who we really are, what we snack on, how we choreograph our Facebook page, what we tweet? All of these slight gestures are not meaningful enough to build a case or create a hypothesis, but blended with other insights and observations from around the world, the data can create a solution that forms the foundation of a future brand or a business. Fanning desire. Businessmen wanted to launch a new business in Russia. They asked me how to come up with an idea that would generate at least $1 billion a year. So I flew to Russia and spent several weeks interviewing Russian consumers. The biggest piece of small data I found was the enormous number of magnets on every refrigerator door in Russian homes. Every refrigerator seemed to have an extravagantly large collection of magnets. They weren't at eye level either. Most were at waist level, or a little higher. I asked the family who had put which magnet where. The answer was always the same. The mother placed the first magnet in the center of the fridge. The father was responsible for the next magnet, and he generally placed it to the right of his wife's. Then it was the child's turn to place his or her magnet directly underneath the parents. The magnets made a circle around the mother. She was the nexus of the home. From a symbolic standpoint, the magnets were devoted to freedom, to escape, to foreign travel, to exotic foreign cities. They gazed back out at children's eye level. They seemed to say, "There's a future ahead of you. You can do anything." Russian mothers may have been in charge of their households, but almost no one listened to them or sought out their opinions. Almost every Russian woman I spoke to told me how friendless and isolated she felt. The magnets were an autistic, softer, more feminine way for the women to express themselves. They needed a space to express their desire to escape the hardness and maleness of Russian life. They were lacking freedom, release, irresponsibility, and time, the qualities we ascribe to children. I set in motion the rollout of an online website devoted to Russian mothers and their children. We called it Mom Magazine, which in Russian means Mom's Store. Our mission was to create the most honest, reliable e-commerce site in Russia. Our goal? To let Russian women be heard. To appeal to both their actual children and the little kids who still lived inside these women. In contrast to most other businesses, we made time to grow our business organically. We spent a year talking to Russian mothers, and another year building the website in line with what they wanted. Our bigger mission was to create a collective experience for Russian mothers, all of whom wanted the same thing for their children. A chance to satisfy desires their lives prevent them from expressing. Sausage, chicken, and the pursuit of real happiness. Lowe's Foods, a local family-owned grocery chain with supermarkets in North Carolina and South Carolina. Lowe's Foods, a local family-owned grocery store with supermarkets in North Carolina and South Carolina, is one of the region's biggest retailers, but its revenues had been down since the 2008 recession. Unless the company turned around its 100 or so supermarkets, it would have to shut down some of its stores. As my usual strategy, I researched the American culture, looking for desires and dreams that were going unfulfilled. No country in the world is as politically correct as the United States. Few Americans would ever identify themselves as racist or misogynist or intolerant of the rights of minorities. At social events and parties, the topics of sex, politics, and religion are all off limits. Few Americans are willing to discuss things everyone knows about but won't admit, from how tedious it is to stay at home all day with a baby to their true feelings about hip-hop. Most Americans won't even talk about how they feel about political correctness itself. It all puzzled me. The United States, after all, is synonymous with freedom and social and professional mobility. However, climate-controlled buildings, paranoia about offending others, and emphasis on rules and regulations seem to counter the American brand. To me, this was the core of life in the United States. Most rules and restrictions are reframed so that Americans believe they are, in fact, safeguards. Which begs the question. If most Americans do and feel and think and watch and eat and drink precisely what everyone else does, are they really free? How did this pertain to Lowe's? On the basis of my subtexting, I knew many consumers weren't ambivalent about shopping there. Lowe's was too corporate, someone said. They told me that Lowe's didn't feel local or family enough. Still, there seemed to be consensus around a single item. One of the first things I smell when I go into Lowe's is the rotisserie chicken, one woman told me. They have just come out of the oven. I buy one almost weekly. Every customer I spoke to, it seemed, loved Lowe's chicken. What consumers needed was a sense of store-wide community and a zone where they can feel free. Given that, we came up with the chicken dance. Every time a chicken came out of the oven, the song played in the speakers, and everyone in the store stopped whatever they were doing and participated in the dance. It sounds ridiculous, and it was. But it was ridiculous in an unself-conscious, liberating way. For a few minutes, shoppers felt free to behave like children again. The United Colors of India. I traveled to India on behalf of a global cereal manufacturer. Along with most other forms of packaging, cereal boxes sold in India had long been distinguished by eye-catching colors, designed to arrest the attention of a few mothers. The packaging had worked well for decades. But in 2013, the company couldn't figure out why its most popular cereal had been losing market share among young female buyers. Could I help them? Literally and metaphorically, India has always been a nation blazing with colors. Which is why my first night in Mumbai, the question I kept asking myself was, what do colors mean in India? I would find out the complex answer when I carried out subtext research inside the homes of Indian consumers, only to come face to face with the voluble intergenerational waltz that has long existed between Indian mothers and the women, some as young as 15 years old, who have married their sons. As anyone who's been to the movies or watched television shows, the mother-in-law is the classic butt of any number of stale jokes. She criticizes. She butts in. She believes she knows best. An Indian mother-in-law sheriffs the household, exerting quality control regulations over every aspect of domestic life. She knows what foods to buy and what recipes to follow. In some extreme cases, a new bride is forbidden to touch or even speak in front of their older relatives. In Indian homes, the daughter-in-law is the person who opens the door and greets a visitor. Her mother-in-law waits inside, as she is, literally and symbolically, the proprietor and ruler of the home. Across India, the mothers-in-law I met shared a similar, even classic appearance. Most were physically small, in their 50s and 60s, almost all of them oversized eyeglasses with thick lenses. Still, it wasn't Lumen's size I first noticed. It was their colorful clothing. Dark blues, pale ambers, powdery greens, ocean blues. I spent time with young Indian women at local universities to understand young Indian women before they officially became daughters-in-law. Spending time in their dorm rooms and sourcing their Facebook pages, it became clear to me the extent to which Western imagery dominated their lives. There were photos of Western pop stars, and they had liked any number of Western and Korean brands, from Apple to Samsung. So I carried out an experiment. I asked the mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law to rank a range of colors from the freshest to the least fresh. A week later, I tallied up the results and was baffled to find that the two groups had radically different definitions of what constituted fresh. That they literally perceived the world using separate senses. To Indian mothers-in-law, natural and fresh referred to the colors of their cooking spices. The more florid the colors, the fresher they perceived their spices to be. Younger Indian women, on the other hand, increasingly schooled on Western imagery and perceptions, unanimously preferred green. This means that I had to figure out a packaging strategy to entice two generations simultaneously. I would have to use two separate color codes. And a few weeks later, the cereal manufacturer approved my template for a new package design. My solution was to appeal first to the mothers-in-law by decorating two-thirds of the package, the bottom, with rich, bright, spice-inspired colors. I would also add a tactile dimension to one side of the package to appeal to an older generation's desire to handle products. The top third of the package, which the taller daughter-in-law would see, would be adorned with natural browns and greens, as well as a description of the cereal's natural ingredients. In a populous country, the package emphasized whiteness, sparseness, and simplicity. If you look carefully, you'll also see something else. Two separate sets of colors. One is designed for women anywhere between the ages of 50 and 70, while the other appeals to younger women in their late teens and early 20s. It's the exact same breakfast cereal, the exact same packaging. But unless you were wearing glasses, you would never know the difference. The sin of inadvertence. In an information age in which most of us spend all day with our eyes trained on screens, we need to be more aware of the clues around us and to become conscious of the similarities that exist among all of us. To avoid what mythologist and writer Joseph Campbell once described as the greatest human transgression, namely the sin of inadvertence, of not being alert or altogether awake to the world around us.